I love the story that the kids told earlier. It's a classic, one that I've cherished with each of my children. As some of you might remember, as the caterpillar eats all of those questionable foods, the pages in the board book go from very, very small to larger and larger and larger. And what a meal! Sausage and pears and lollipops and pies. Just imagine. But what comes next, which is so interesting for me, for us this morning, the cocoon. The cocoon is no cakewalk. It is a complex place. It is a time of dissolution. The caterpillar does not simply grow wings. Little nubby pre-wings do not gently and harmoniously bloom from the caterpillar's back. Rather, inside the cocoon, the caterpillar nearly dissolves. Everything it was changes, and it emerges at once fundamentally different, but fundamentally the same. Cocoon times are tricky. Change is disorienting. Change can be frightening. But it is far less frightening when we go into times of change clear about who we are and why we are here, clear about the purpose we are serving. It is less frightening when we are present to the details of what is. As some of you know, I just had the great privilege, because my wife is so amazing, of traveling to California to support one of my best friends as she returned to work after the birth of her second child. The little one, I mean little, is just 3 months old and so adorable, so tiny, he can't even turn over even. He is just right there where you leave him. Which is just a revelation to me, as I am now used to the constant motion and commotion of my three kids. He has the simple, elegant needs of a newborn: eat, sleep, excrete, gurgle, smile, repeat. My big job while I was there was watching him while my friend went back to work to her incredibly complex job. And with babies being so little, the playbook was pretty wide open, and he seemed like he was longing for a road trip, so who was I to get in his way? So we traveled a little bit of a ways to one of my favorite restaurants in the world, Meal Ticket in Berkeley, California, and I was blessed to consume what I consider the house specialty. Enjoy this. Slow-roasted pulled pork in a curry coconut sauce over home fries and eggs, served with fresh corn tortillas and fresh-made salsa. Somehow, it all hangs together just sublimely. I hadn't been back in many years, and we used to live right around the corner from this restaurant. The owners recognized me, and we had a warm exchange. I was there again with my friend's baby, and I had such strong flashes to 10 years ago when Lauren and I would bring our tiny little baby version of Ben there. We sat at the same table with the same baby carrier, so much the same, but so much different. There I was again, a whole decade later, certainly older, undeniably in many ways wiser, but so much had changed. And sitting there in that place, I could feel not only the trajectory of change, but the purpose behind that change. Marriage, three children, this move, this ministry, traveling back there. I loved seeing friends. I loved being there, smelling large roses, which want to be planted in the soil there. But I could also feel that all that change was so good and so clear. this path, this moment here with you all. A few weeks ago, here in church, we sang the song, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. And there's a verse, don't be afraid of some change. And singing that verse, I just couldn't hold it together, and I just broke down laughing up here. Not something that happens a ton, because we are in the midst of so much change. These were already trying times for a number of reasons. Our country is in a challenging spot, to say the least. We here at South Church have been navigating the transitions and many possibilities of the many buildings which house and support our work together. And then the tragic fire which hit next door, and the very complicated and displacing and disorienting process of cleaning up and moving on from the smoke damage. There has been and there continues to be just so much change, so the hymn just cracked me up. And later that same day, I had a very sweet conversation with a longtime member who asked how I was, how I was navigating all of this change, and I said that I was good. I explained that this is definitely a full and disorienting moment, that there is lots on our plate collectively, but that I am good. And it is true, and in the days since then, I've reflected a little bit on why I am good in this moment, and not to sugarcoat. This is all too much. I look forward to the day when your hardworking staff can just come to work and not be fighting an uphill battle against our space. I look forward to the day when we have settled all of these transitions, when the paint on the ceiling is glistening and unperturbed. I look forward to this day. And I also love this day, this one in which we're living. I do love this moment, and it is because of all of you. It is because of so many of you showing up, marching, protesting, rising up, making your voices heard, some of you for the very first time in your entire lives. It is because of the planning and implementation team and our other volunteers who have given hundreds of hours of their time working hard to help shepherd these projects, this process, balancing between hundreds of you and our many contractors and architects, just a huge job they have done. Because of new members who are stepping up into service, taking on new roles within the church, deepening their connection. Because of longtime members who are taking their first break in decades, replenishing the well from which they pour out themselves here. It's because of brand new babies born into the church and brand new children adopted into our wider family who we will be dedicating in just a few short weeks. Who knows where? But we will be dedicating them because of all of you facing new chapters in your lives, having moved, having lost your loved one, redefining, rediscovering who you are. It's because of hundreds and hundreds of you and the details of your lives and this singular thing that we are creating when we pour ourselves into this moment. As I reflected on this, I think that's part of the medicine. Part of the healing balm in this moment of anxiety, this disorienting moment, it's about presence, about paying attention to this moment in front of us, doing what we can. Mary Oliver writes, I know you never intended to be in this world, but you're in it all the same. So why not get started immediately? I mean belonging to it. There is so much to admire, to weep over, to write music and poems about. Bless the feet that take you to and fro. Bless the eyes and the listening ears. Bless the tongue, the marvel of taste. Bless touching. You could live to 100 years, it's happened, or not. I'm speaking from the fortunate platform of many years, none of which I think I have ever wasted. Do you need a prod? Do you need a little darkness to get you going? Let me be urgent like a knife. Late yesterday afternoon, in the heat, all the fragile blue flowers in bloom in the shrubs in the yard next door had tumbled from the shrubs and lay wrinkled and fading in the grass. But this morning, they were full of blue flowers again, There wasn't a single one on the grass. How, I wondered, did they roll back up the branches, fiercely wanting, as we all do, just a little more life? And this is, I think, to me, the crux of it. This is probably why I love poetry and worship and snuggling and delicious food and babies and fishing. There is something beautiful to me in that awakened gaze to presence, to attention. There is so much to admire, to weep over, to bless. The feet, the eyes, the listening ears, the tongue, the taste, the touching. And this is what holds me. This is what keeps me clear and grounded in all of this change, these moments, these powerful, beautiful moments of presence and connection, this blessing, especially in this day, in this moment that we are facing, the atrocity and the hatred, especially as we hear of the unspeakable violence in Chechnya against the LGBT community. As some of you know, just a week ago, the Chechenian government told its families, "Kill your gay sons or we will." And then just a few days ago, a teenager was pushed by his own uncle from the 9th floor of a building after having been outed as gay. I was feeling overwhelmed by this news, by the resonances of that same hatred I feel right here at home. And because of this crazy moment and all of our transitions, I was meeting in a new space, in a different place, a place I wasn't used to, and I heard other people coming into the building, and I decided to say hello. And I realized that it was Seacoast Outright. As many of you know, Seacoast Outright is an advocacy and support group for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender youth here in the Seacoast. And it did my heart so much good, especially in that moment, in the wake of the news of that violence, to see these youth here together. There is so much that is out of our reach. And still, there is so much that we can do. We commit ourselves here to building this community of memory and hope, this community in which we are all welcome but then put to work, community which seeks depth and beauty and service and love. Courtney Martin writes in her book, A New Better Off, "Living in America at this unequal, messy moment can break your heart, but it doesn't have to break your spirit. Living in America is so interesting, so fertile, so up for grabs. It's also disintegrating and reconstituting and recalibrating. It's up to us to make lives that we can be proud of, to make communities and systems and policies to cradle those lives. It's up to us to reject tired narratives of success, instead authoring new ones that are less about exceptional heroes and more about creative communities. It's up to us to reclaim the best of what previous generations did that made this country unique and beautiful, as well as to own up to the destructive legacies that we're a part of, to expose them to the light, to figure out how to fix them. It's up to us to be humble, to be brave, accountable, no one else. It's up to us to be together, to be awake. This cocoon is no cakewalk. As a community, we are reforming, we are stretching and deepening, we are in the midst of a changing time. I know we will emerge with sprouted wings. I see them growing on your backs. I see you stretching them wide, reaching out, drying them in the warmth of the sun. I see you taking flight. I have so much faith in you. And I even have faith in our nation. I have faith in the long arc of resistance and uprising. I have faith in the people, in you people. I have faith in this place which cradles these lives we are creating, these lives of which we can be proud, these awakened together lives. I have faith in this cocoon and in its just right timed opening."